The thought tonight is prayer. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17.
Pray without ceasing.
That's a very short scripture. Pray without ceasing. So, this is not maybe you should pray without ceasing, or I suggest you pray without ceasing. It says, pray without ceasing.
Yes.
And that shows us the importance of prayer. That song that I was trying to have us sing is prayer is the key on the bending knee. That's the way it starts. Prayer is the key to our success.
Yeah.
You know, earlier we talked about our resolve, but one of the things that we need to realize is that we're going to have to pray. The enemy of our soul fights prayer. He fights us praying. He tries to make us busy. I know when we open our eyes in the morning and all kinds of duties and things floods in our minds and the problems of the day, because the enemy knows that we need prayer in order to have the strength to fight him with.
That's right.
He wants to make us weak. And I'm telling you, if we do not establish a good prayer life, we're going to be some weaklings. We will not be strong in the Lord. Let's go to James 5 and 16.
James 5 and 16.
Yes.
Says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Okay. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. We can pray for ourselves and we can pray for each other. We need each other. That song said we need each other, brother. We need each other praying for each other. We pray for ourselves, and we also pray for one another. And it says the effectual fervent prayer. Now, if we pray half-heartedly, we don't need to expect to get anything from the Lord. But we need to earnestly pray. We have so many people that's in need of our prayers. And we need our prayers. We need to come to God daily. Pray without ceasing. That don't mean we're on our knees 24/7. But it means that as I walk, as I'm going to the store, as I'm talking, even somebody, you meet somebody and you want to talk to them about the Lord, you need to have a spirit of prayer in your heart.
Yes.
That God will give you just the right words to say. And if somebody come to you for counsel and they want to know certain things, have a spirit of prayer that God will give you just the words to say. We need him at all times. We cannot do this by ourselves. Ephesians 6 and 18. And it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Always. Pray without ceasing. Praying always. It says, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. When we're praying and we're supplicating before the Lord, we're pressing the thing, the concern we have before the Almighty God, that he will help us. We're living in dangerous times. We're living in perilous times. You think about, we have people today that are trying to be our leaders. We need to pray for those leaders. Sometimes people depend on their votes, and I'm not against that, but we need to put a lot of prayer behind these things. Because the Lord tells us to pray for our leaders, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life. It's so important. If I could get across to us, you, me, and all of us, how important it is to pray and seek God and not just say a few words and get up. Sometimes we have to tarry before the Lord. That don't mean that we got to day and day and say the same words over and over and over. That's not it. We can say what we need from God, but tarry until we feel that he is heard of, that he is going to answer prayer. We have a privilege. Prayer is a privilege. That song says, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I appreciate that song so much. Let me see if I can get the words up right quick. It says, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What a comfort to know Jesus, who does help our burdens share. He who is our great Redeemer cares about his children's plight. Just to take hold, he's ready, waiting to dispel the darkest night. Just tell Jesus, and remember, trials come to make you strong. He, the Comforter, will guide you through the night that's dark and long. He will never, never leave you, though it seems he's far away. He is there to fight your battles if you kneel to him in prayer. And so I don't have all of it, but anyway, there's one part of it says, he is the great I am who cares. But I don't see it. Anyway, we can be encouraged to tell Jesus in prayer. We can tell him everything. When we have distress, when we are grieved, when we are broken, we can bring our brokenness to him because he cares. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 32. We're going to be reading quite a bit in this. We want to look at, this is Hezekiah. And he was in distress. The scriptures give us others that were in distress and how in several parts of the scriptures it tells about Hezekiah and the problem that he had, and he brought it to the Lord in prayer, and the Lord heard his prayer. But in 2 Chronicles 3:32, excuse me, and 9, we're going to read 9 to 23. We're going to see the problem that he had. This is serious. His life and the lives of the others, Israelites, were at stake here because this king, Sennacherib, was determined to destroy them. Somebody get that for me.
2 Chronicles 32 and 9. After this, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, sent his servant to Jerusalem, but he himself laid siege against Lachish and all his power with him, unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, and unto all Judah that were at Jerusalem, saying, thus saith Sennacherib, king of Assyria, whereon do you trust, that ye abide in the siege of Jerusalem? Doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves to die by famine and by thirst, saying, the Lord our God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Hath not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars, and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall worship before one altar and burn incense upon it?
Okay, stop just a minute. What he's saying here is Hezekiah had taken away all the idols. The altar's for the idol god. And he was getting the people of God to serve the living God. And so Sennacherib was trying to make fun of Hezekiah and say, in other words, you trust in him. But I want to read on. He wanted you, those people, to be afraid and to feel like you can't trust Hezekiah. You can't. We're going to take you down, so to speak. Read on.
Know ye not what I and my fathers have done unto all the people of other lands? Were the gods of the nations of those lands any ways able to deliver their lands out of my hand? Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my father utterly destroyed, that could deliver his people out of my hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of my hand? Now therefore, let not Hezekiah deceive you, nor persuade you on this matter, neither yet believe him. For no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of my hand and out of the hand of my fathers.
Okay, stop just a minute. He's boasting that you're trusting in Hezekiah. Don't let him deceive you. No god has been able to deliver out of my hand. In other words, he's gotten rid of all your idol gods and telling you to worship in one altar, and your God can't do anything. He can't deliver you out of my hand. All the other nations, we've destroyed them and their gods. This is what he was saying to him. Go on.
16, and his servants spake yet more against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. He wrote also letters to rail on the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people out of my hand, so shall not the God of Hezekiah deliver his people out of my hand. Then they cried with a loud voice in the Jews' speech unto the people of Jerusalem that were on the wall, to affright them and to trouble them, that they might take the city. And they spake against the God of Jerusalem as against the gods of the people of earth, which were the work of the hands of man.
Okay, stop. Those gods were idols. They were the work of men's hand.
Yes.
And but he's saying he put the God of heaven as though he had no power. He could not deliver them, just like all those idol gods couldn't. Read on.
And for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos prayed and cried to heaven.
Stop just a minute. But Hezekiah knew God. He knew the God of heaven. And he used prayer. He prayed to the God of heaven. And let's see what happened.
And the Lord sent an angel, which cut off all the mighty men of valor, and the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was come into the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels slew him there with a sword. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side.
Amen. So you see, prayer works.
Amen.
Prayer works. We must use the tool that God has given us, which is prayer. We can seek the Lord, and he can deliver us. He can work when no man can hinder, and he can hinder when no man can work. We have a great privilege to bring all our troubles to God in prayer. Now, there's a part of this story that is not here that I want us to get in 2 Kings 19, verse 14 to 18. Because you remember he said he sent letters. We want to see how Hezekiah prayed to the Lord in this with these letters that he had, 19 and 14.
19 and 14, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwells between the cherubim, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear, open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the king of Assyria hath destroyed the nations and their lands, and hath cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them.
So you see, what did Hezekiah did? He went before the Lord. He took that letter and he spread it out before the Lord and he prayed to him and he told him, you made heaven and earth. Thou art the real God, in other words. He was able to destroy these other countries and their gods because they were no gods. They were the work of men's hand. But, you know, we can take the same method. We can go before God. If we get a letter, so a disturbing letter, it won't hurt us to lay it out on the floor, so to speak, and stretch out before him and bring it to the Lord. Let's use prayer. Prayer is the key. We can use it to fight our battles, things that are too much for us, that's disturbing for us, that we don't see any way out. Let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Sister Mary, I was waiting on you. I want you to sing this Psalm 169.
To the toes.
the years, dark doors shall be shut no more. My sin shall be wiped away. As the pearl gets sweet and the so prayer is the key on the bending knee.
Amen.
While we in this life, we're going to go through many things. We're going to have to fight against the enemy in many ways.
Yes.
And we can do it through prayer.
Yes.
The enemy of our soul is out to get us.
Yes.
He's not our friend. He's out to destroy us. But we can pray and call on God and trust in God to come to our rescue.
Right.
And you see how he did for Hezekiah. This man boasted of how he had destroyed these other people, but Hezekiah prayed. And when he prayed, God did something. And he sent this man back home in shame. And then he was destroyed right in his own home, in his own country. Let's read 2 Kings 20, verse 1. It said, in those days, this is another instance when Hezekiah prayed. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed and said unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus says the Lord God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears, and behold, I will heal thee. On the third day, thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. See, he prayed. Sometimes it looked like all hope is gone, and it may seem like I'm going to check out of here. But we can pray, and we can call on God. God will hear and answer prayer. Sometimes he might say yes. Sometimes he may say no. Sometimes he may say wait. But he will hear answer prayer.
Yes.
So let us be encouraged to take our burdens to the Lord. There's a song that said, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. We're going to take our burdens by prayer. You know, we need to have a consistent prayer life, not an up and down prayer life. I pray today, tomorrow I don't. No, every day. Pray without ceasing. Let's make prayer our main goal for the day, to start the day. That song says, prayer is the key on the bended knee, and it says to open the morn's first hour. We need to pray first before we get started with all these other things that we usually have. We want to look at Jesus and how he emphasized the need to prayer. Jesus was the Son of God. He had all power in heaven and earth. One scripture said it was given into his hand. He had power to do whatever he needed to do, but he felt the need for prayer. And many times he would pray, he would steal away from the crowd, from the masses of people, and pray. Sometimes he would take a few of his disciples in Gethsemane. He took Peter and James and John, I think, with him. And he said, wait here while I go and pray yonder. He prayed in Gethsemane. This is how he got the strength to go on through the cross, bear the cross. When we sing that song, Christ in Gethsemane. No, not Christ in Gethsemane, it's another one. But it tells of what he saw, how much he saw of what was going to happen to him. But he was there in prayer to his Father. Sometimes he would pray all night. We need to realize the value of prayer. Luke 18:1. Somebody read that for me.
And he speak a parable unto them, for this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint.
He spoke a parable unto them. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. If we're going to be able to go through to the end, we're going to have to pray. That's just simple as that. It's no getting around it. And so we need to value prayer. If we haven't been praying as we should, let's ask the Lord to help us to be of a prayerful mind, to pray more. One scripture says, pray more and talk less, right? Is that a scripture or is it just a saying? But we need to pray more and talk less. It's so important that we would pray. Let's go to Mark 14:38. And it says, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. If we do not pray, we're going to falter along the way. We don't want to falter. We want to win in this battle for the Lord. Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation.
Yes.
Again, it says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So since we are in this flesh, and it's weak on its own, we need to pray and seek God for strength.
Yes.
When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he was there fasting and praying for 40 days and 40 nights. We need to feel the need to pray without ceasing. Luke 22:40-41. Jesus set the example for us, and we can follow in his footsteps.
Luke 22:40-41. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed.
See? He said, he told them to pray, but he also prayed. Sometimes people will tell you to do something they don't do in themselves, but God, Jesus was a perfect example of praying to his Father in the time of need. And no doubt, many times, we have no knowledge of how these things were pressing hard on him, the sins of the world, and not only so, but the daily dealings with people, those that were sick and those that were possessed with the devil, and then the leaders always trying to trip him up in his word. but he looked unto God. Let's not just think we can do this on our own, but let's look to the Lord, because we need him. We need his strength. And we're not going to get it just by just going alone. We need to pray and seek God that he will give us strength to carry on and to be faithful to him. Now let's go to Matthew 6 and 5. It says, and when thou prayest. In this scripture, I think I'm going to go up a little farther. It tells us about prayer, but there are some things that we need to have to do and to take care of things in the right way. He gave us an example how to pray, what to do when we're praying. It says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites in the synagogue and in the street, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and that thy father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may appear unto men, be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You see, he said, enter in that closet. And I don't believe that he means that every time you pray, you got to find a closet. But get in a secret place, a quiet place, and shut the door. Shut out all the noise. Shut out all the attention. Turn off the cell phone. Don't feel like you can't pray without letting your cell phone be on. God will take care of whatever. Let's spend some quiet time with God and shut out the world and everything. Sometimes when you pray, the devil will bring so many thoughts to your mind. You'll be praying and then you say, you realize I didn't say a whole lot of words and I don't know what I said hardly. Shut out the world. Shut out the things, the problems, everything. And focus on your prayer. Focus on the Lord. Send those prayers up with all our hearts and sincerity. And God is so faithful. He will answer our prayer. And it says, but when you pray, use not vain repetition. Sometimes when people pray, they say the same thing over and over and over. You hear them. They say it over and over. But the Lord said, don't do that as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. It's not the length of prayer. It's the sincerity of your heart. Yes. You don't have to keep saying the same thing. Oh, well, I need to pray for an hour, so I'm going to say the same thing over and over and over. No. It's not that. It's the sincerity of our heart when we're praying. And so it says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This didn't say, use these words. Some people feel like in order to pray, you got to use those exact words. No, you don't. It doesn't say use these words. It says after this manner. So when we go to the Lord, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're going to honor him and praise him. That's what we do when we come to him. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Submitting yourself to God in prayer. Lord, I want you to work this out. Work it out in your own way and on in your will. It says, give us this day our daily bread. Ask him for what you need. Give me the grace I need, Lord. Help me in Jesus' name. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Ask for forgiveness. If you made a mistake or something, ask for forgiveness. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. We must forgive others in all, when we pray. Don't think that God, you can just hold people and pray and God's going to hear your prayers. Not going to happen like that. You must forgive others in order for God to forgive you. And it said, lead us not into temptation. Lord, help me to not do any evil or any wrong. Deliver me from anything wrong. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And it says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If you hold people and you don't forgive them, God will not answer your prayer. He will not forgive you. So we must do all we can to give, to forgive others. And then we know then that God will forgive us. So Jesus, we have many examples where Jesus went away and prayed. He was the Son of God, and yet he went away and prayed many times. Mark 6 and 46. You know, a successful person in the Lord is a praying person. There was a track once that says, Praying Mary. And she was a very busy person, but she prayed every, wherever she was and whatever she was doing. We can do that. No matter, we cannot make busyness an excuse not to pray, because we can pray in our heart when we're even washing dishes or taking care of the babies or whatever we're doing. We must pray because it's essential for our spiritual welfare. Did you get that 6 and 46?
And when he had sat down away, he departed into a mountain to pray.
That's Jesus. He departed. He went away to pray. And in Luke 22 and 46, you just want to see how that Jesus set this example. He didn't. He told us, he taught us, and he did it himself.
And said unto them, why sleep ye? Arise and pray, lest you enter into temptation.
Lest, don't be negligent of feel like, you know, just sleeping and careless. But listen, rise up, get up, shake yourself. If you feel like you need to pray, get up and pray. The Lord may tell you to get up in the middle of the night and pray. The Lord knows what's going to happen ahead of us. And he prepares us. The Spirit of God may deal with us to pray. And we need to pray, regardless of whether we're sleeping or tired or any of those things. And then in Luke 6 and 12.
Luke 6 and 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continue all night in prayer to God.
Yes. Let's find a secret place to pray. We can pray all the time, but then sometimes we just need to steal away from the crowd and pray. Also, along with prayer, we need to watch. We need to watch and pray. Mark 13 and 33. Many times he said, watch and pray.
Yes.
33 says, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is.
We don't know when the Lord's going to come. And so we want to watch and pray and be ready for his coming. You know, one scripture says something about, I think, watch, does that day come not upon you unaware or something like that? But we need to watch and pray that we not be caught off guard. The devil will try to catch you off guard. You know, if you don't watch, he'll catch you off guard and then he'll trip you up. So we need to be prayerful and watchful. The last scripture is Luke 21 and 36 says, watch ye therefore and pray always.
Yes.
That ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. We want to be ready to... We're living in the last times. We don't know what God is, when the Lord's going to wrap this thing up. But we need to be prayerful,
yes,
watch and pray, that we'll be ready. And even if he doesn't take the whole, the world, he may take us. We want to be careful. God gave us this. He gave us the privilege to bring everything to him in prayer. Pray for me.